Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 11, we were learning how it is sinful not to take a stand for the truth of God. Let's continue with that discussion today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom. For the Bible.
And how about 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17? At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now some believe being delivered out of the mouth of the lion was talking about the Roman Colosseum. Others think of Satan, the roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. Either way, the apostle realizes God delivered him. And if no other man would stand with him, as long as he was standing on God's word, God's truth, God's will, God's way, the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. And the preaching was made fully known and many heard. And he goes on to even pray for those who did not take a stand. Do you realize it's a sin when you don't take a stand for the Lord when you know to? Hindeth it not to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. You're one of those who, when somebody takes a stand, let's just say that I'm questioned about contemporary Christian music, and I not only tell people it's wrong, I tell them it's sin. You may agree with me. But as that crowds around, you kind of walk away. You're afraid to be associated with me because you're afraid that they might reject you. It might cause you problems with that crowd. So although you agree with me, you've not stood for what's right. Well, that's wrong. And so he says, I pray God that be not laid to their charge. He's saying, God, please don't judge them for this sin. That takes us to verse 34. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, this carries on the word of God through men who performed the work of God by faith. They quenched the violence of fire, the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And we see that there's a fourth one likened to the Son of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christophany. A pre-incarnation appearance. He's in with them. When Nebuchadnezzar sees him and says, I see a fourth man in there likened to the Son of God. The mighty men that cast the three in there were slain by the fire. They weren't even in the midst of it. They were outside of it. But it was so hot it killed them. The three they threw in, the only thing that burnt on them were the ropes. We think of the houses that were built upon rock and sand. It's a lot harder work to build a house on the rock. But in the storm of life, that house stands. Studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, serving Him, all the things that we're to do in a holy and righteous way is a lot harder than many of the things going on today with blended worship and other things that are allowed into Christians' lives. But when the storms come, when the real storms come, you'll find that that house stands. Well, quench the violence of fire. These people had faith that performed in the face of threatened, violent death. They escaped the edge of the sword. Do you remember Gideon? Well, 135,000. They mostly killed one another. You know, all these cases that you're looking at in these passages are not dependent on the odds or circumstances surrounding them. You see, it's all dependent upon the power of God. We cannot come to God and be used of God in a pure heart unless iniquity is purged. That's why 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," plural, "then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, saved people are his people too. Now, we're not his people instead of the Jews. We're his people too. But turning to him, humbling ourselves, we must admit our sin. We must pray rightly. Pray for righteousness, not for us to continue in our worldliness. Seek with the idea of whatever he wants, I'll do. Turn from their wicked way. You know, some of us had to turn from our weights and sins that so easily beset us. It might be turning from that television, might be from that internet, where you're seeing things that you should not see, that in no way is building up your faith in Christ. My friend, there is accountability for each of us before God. Now, I want to say at this juncture of the chapter and verse that a Christian has no time or room for self-pity because of his circumstances and those that hate them. I mean, these people had escaped, we're told, the edge of the sword. They were people who were involved in all kinds of trials and tribulations. So there's no room or time for self-pity because of your circumstances and because of those that hate us. In the hour of disappointment and grief, we must remember that others have suffered before us, and should the Lord tarry, others will follow because the Lord preserves a remnant. And so others are going to follow us in the path of hardship, sorrows, and sufferings. But these things are but stepping stones by which we reach a higher place of service for the Lord, and we enter into a deeper relationship with him, a more personal and intimate relationship with him. You see, my friend, we must exercise unshakable faith in his ability, not in our own strength and ability. Romans 8:37-39 says, "Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us," not through our power or strength, through him. And he goes on to say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's not talking about those things being unable to separate you from it, but to separate Christ from it. And so, verse 34 says, "Out of weakness were made strong." The apostles were noted as unlearned men, but they turned the world upside down for Christ. Paul's bodily presence and voice were such that one may look upon him with disdain. Oh, but look what God made out of weakness. Since we just read it earlier in this little passage here, I will not go back to it, but 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29, talking about how he uses the weak things and not many mighty, and the foolish things to confound the wise, and things that are despised. Isn't it wonderful that he wants to use us? Isn't it great that he wants to use you? He goes on to say they wax valiant fight. Now, be it David with Goliath, or Peter before the Sanhedrin saying, we ought to obey God rather than man. Or how about Joshua? As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now, in these cases where Peter tells the Sanhedrin, we ought to obey God rather than man, or Joshua telling the people of Israel, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. They're not being arrogant. They're being valiant. Speaking the truth in love, my friend, is valiant. Now, speaking the truth to add to someone's affliction is arrogant. Now, some tried to do that for Paul because his troubles to grow all the more. Now, we're not trying to be arrogant. We're trying to be obedient. And so, my friend, wax valiant in the fight. Know the fight. Know where God would have you to serve. And do it with your might according to the word of God. He goes on to say they put to flight the armies of the aliens. I think of Jonathan and his sword bearer. Or how about a small group of believers in Thessalonica, the result of their witness against all odds? Paul writes, and the mission team did not need to go there to that area because that little band of believers had done the work. What a blessing that is. Now we go on to verse 35, and he says, women received their dead raised to life again. Now we think of Elisha, but don't forget, the lady had to have faith to place that dead boy in an upper chamber and then go and call for Elisha. Oftentimes in Scripture, we see the weaker sex are often stronger in faith than many men. And so here is a lady that received her dead raised to life again. Women. Now understand, this Hall of Faith has women as well as men in it.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.